Garoppolo. Open McKinnon in for the touchdown. San Francisco. Raheem Mostert will get the toss. And some pretty good space. Right away, San Francisco and Raheem Mostert. Are you kidding me? 80 yards all the way on the toss play. Garoppolo hitting out wide. That's Reed. And Reed trying to hurl his way in. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Jones with pressure. Throws
and it's intercepted. Fred Warner has the pick. And the 49ers set up with great field position.
On the fake. Coming back. Ayuk's got it with blockers. Ayuk makes a cut. Looking for the end zone, and he's in. Touchdown, San Francisco.
You are now listening to the Faithful 4 Podcast.
Welcome back to the Faithful 4 Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rohit, and I'm joined with all four of us today. So we got Adrian, Kobe, and Andrew. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. Good.
Good.
Fantastic.
Well, we've got some more playoff football. We're finally in, and we're finally to the home stretch, as in the one game that we all really care about, because that's the one game that actually practically means anything anymore. It's the Super Bowl. But before we kind of get into like all of that, first things first, follow the socials. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Faithful4Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll be posting live shows, some analysis here and there. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. We're going to be working with that. So, you know, there you go. And follow us on social media as well. Follow me on Twitter at RohitsCondon71. You follow Kobe at BigKobe. Follow Adrian at Dr. Adrian Perez. And Andrew's main account.
No.
Okay, all you need to know is that Andrew's account got suspended for the dumbest reason.
He's not 13, everyone. So... He's like 12.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify, I am older than 13 years old, okay? Twitter had some doubts and suspended my account for at least 5 days at this point running now, possibly more. So hopefully getting them back soon, but I did want to clarify, I am not 13. I'm 17 years old, okay? I will be 18 soon. Not 13. Thanks, Twitter.
Twitter, if you're listening, there's your proof.
We got vocal, audible proof. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, follow Andrew on his backup, which is at Shanahan Season, which was his original tag from earlier in the season. So, you know...
Hopefully we'll be back soon.
Yep. So first things first, we got the NFC champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Actually, first, Rohit, first, we had news today. Jeff Wilson got re-signed. Okay, that's important.
Jeffrey!
Let's go!
That was actually really good.
The one two punch of Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert is coming in 2021, which we kind of already thought that, but it's official now.
Yep. But yeah, with that out of the way, the Super Bowl, we have the NFC champions in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers led by Tom Brady, who we thought was going to be absolutely geriatric coming into the season, and he somehow found the fountain of youth. And in the AFC, the guys who kicked our ass last year, Kansas City Chiefs.
They didn't kick our ass, it was luck.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it kicked their ass. We held Patrick Mahomes one of his worst games of his career, if I'm being honest. So
yeah, I'd say
not petty at all.
We were one throw away from winning that game in the fourth quarter. So
I'm trying to contain the petty today.
Do not bring up the holding cultural hits. I know you want to. Do not do it. Do not. I don't want to hear it. I see it too much on Twitter.
Don't worry. The bat signal has been yeeted into the Missouri River or something. I don't know.
It's Go Bucks this weekend,
like,
though. It's
you
Go Bucks.
For refs that miss holding calls is ridiculous. Like, every time on Twitter, it's like, oh, look, he missed his holding. Like, every day, I feel like I see a tweet from the Super Bowl of Nick Bosa being held, and I'm like, and Rohit tweets it. I'm like, bro. Can you not remind me?
There was that helmet to helmet out of that Browns game versus the Chiefs. People like, look at this. It's like in the Super Bowl. Ain't nobody calling on Bosa.
No, I'm just saying, it's like,
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, people
are acting like this is brand new, which is my problem.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But for everybody concerned, I have yeeted a bat signal into the Missouri River or something. I don't know. All we know, it's underwater. It's probably broken by water damage. And at this point, I don't care. But first things first, who do y'all got in the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs. To be honest. I'm not going to. The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. We want the Bucks to win. I'm pretty sure all y'all want the Bucks to win.
Here's the thing. As much as I genuinely think the Chiefs are going to win, if there's one thing I've learned about football, you don't bet against Tom Brady. Give me the Bucks.
Yeah.
I'm betting against Tom Brady this time.
Oh, yeah. I am too, man.
I think
you don't bet against Patrick Mahomes. That's what you don't bet against. That's he's the new Tom Brady. You don't bet against Pat Mahomes no more.
Yeah.
it's going to be fun. And, I mean, and going back to the conference championship games, I mean, if we're being honest.
Dog, we would have kicked their ass. If we played the fucking Buccaneers or the Packers, it would have been an ass whooping. I'm sorry. I was watching that game. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I hate that we're not in there.
I mean, it physically hurt because it's like, we know how good we can be. We know how good we have been. We know how good we could have been.
Oh, God.
And the fact that we're in this situation is genuinely frustrating.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the Packers were the exact same team they were last year. The exact same team.
Except one minor difference. They learned how to stop the run, but in exchange, they forgot how to cover the pass.
Kevin King had, like, the worst playoff game I've ever seen.
Before half touchdown,
he was getting torched all game.
Okay, no. That was okay. I want to go back to that one play real quick. That was the dumbest coverage I've ever seen.
Yep.
You have 7 seconds left. Tampa Bay has no timeouts. You know it's a shot to the end zone. Why are you playing press coverage with only a single safety?
Jets Raiders game from earlier this year where
there's a difference. No, there's a difference between Greg Williams on the Jets and Mike Pettine in the NFC Championship.
I mean, Green Bay fans don't.
There's
like
levels
Mike Pettine
to the stupidity.
Green Bay fans
we expect
don't like
that from Greg Williams.
So
okay, we expect that from Greg Williams. There's a reason why he got fired. But really,
that was funny though.
It's like those lay half scores like that. That's what makes a team roll over and die. I mean, here's the thing: we were up 20-0 with like 30-45 seconds left in the NFC Championship last year against Green Bay. Before
we
went
up 27-0 before half, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it was 20-0 with 30 seconds left to go in the first half.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
And then we scored
again, made it 27-0.
The Packers were down 28-10 in the third, so it's like, only reason they even got back into the game is because Brady, well, not even really, because they only got 6 points off of the three picks Brady threw in one half. But
Green Bay shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
By being complete idiots.
And, I mean, they're missing Bakhtiari, so their pass protection wasn't as good as it was earlier in the season, but still, I mean, that offense.
Yeah, but at the same time, you generate 3 turnovers, and you go 3 and out on 2 of the ensuing drives.
They got that offense got bullied. I tweeted earlier in the game, like the first 2 drives, I was like, this offense is getting bullied. They might lose this game, and it was early. And then as soon as I said that the Packers scored a touchdown, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I was right. They got bullied. They couldn't do much on offense, and then. You know, the rest is history.
Now, on that.
But the biggest killer for Green Bay came at the end of the game, and it's called conservative play calling.
Matt LaFleur thought it was a good idea with Aaron freaking Rodgers at the 8-yard line to kick a field goal when you're down by 8, and you're giving the ball back to Tom Brady.
Now, here's the real question, though. I think it was 3rd and goal. I'm pretty sure it was. Do you think if Aaron Rodgers had kept it himself,
he gets 3 yards at maximum?
He probably wouldn't have scored, but it would have became a much more manageable 4th and goal.
Who would
have
got 3 or 4
And here's
yards.
The thing about a 4th and goal. Worst case scenario is you don't convert, but you don't lose yards, meaning you're backing the Buccaneers all the way up in their own end zone. And if you somehow get a safety, you're probably getting the ball back with around 2 minutes to go and all 3 of your timeouts, meaning you can still go for the win.
Yeah.
You had absolutely nothing to lose by going for 4th and goal.
Yeah.
And the fact that you didn't says more about you being an idiot than it does about Tampa Bay actually playing defense.
Yeah. LaFleur's just not that dude.
Speaking of conservative play calling and being an idiot.
He's not the guy.
Buffalo going for 2 field goals within 5 yards of the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's clear that they didn't watch the Packer game. It's quite clear they didn't watch the Packer game because they did the same thing the Packers did and paid the same price for the most part. You get down there and you gotta score points.
Here's the thing. Like, there's a difference between giving the ball back to Brady with the lead and then there's giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes and you have done nothing to respond with your own offense. Like, here's the thing. You don't respond to field goals you don't respond to touchdowns with field goals. You have to go for it because you know they're going to go for it on you.
Shout out to Jason.
Aggressive play calling is what got both Tampa Bay and Kansas City to the Super Bowl. Aggressive play calling is what got Kansas City to the Super Bowl last year. Aggressive play calling is what won them the Super Bowl.
Jordan and Jason want to get rid of all kick and field goals and punting and everything. They just want all offense and defense. They want no special teams anymore. It would be interesting, though, to see football like that. I don't think
that would genuinely be fun.
The
XFL
kicking game
tried
was...
that shit
because no, because at that point it puts so much more emphasis on playing defense because you have to cover for four downs instead of just three.
Yeah, it would be. I think it would be interesting I don't think it would be missed if it was gone. I'll say that. If special teams was gone, it wouldn't be missed because then you would just have offense and defense and you have all four downs and you get more action that way. You wouldn't – and in the late game situations, it would be even more – like, there's nothing like losing on a game-winning field goal. You only have to get to, like, the 35-yard line and you can win a game from there. Like, it would be a lot more interesting if you had to drive the entire field to win a game, you know?
Yeah, but, again, aggressive play calling is what got both of these teams to the Super Bowl. And aggressive play calling is why the current defending champions are the current defending champions who are currently in the Super Bowl. Yep. That's one thing. Obviously, both defenses are good, and honestly, their defenses deserve a lot more credit than they're actually getting. Everybody's really focusing on the offense, and I can't blame them. You have Tom Brady on one side, Patrick Mahomes on the other. You have Bruce Arians on one side, and Andy Reid on the other. You have Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski on one side. You have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and Travis Kelce on the other. So I get it. The offenses are amazing. But you got to give credit where credit's due to the defense. Mm-hmm. It's called balance. Like, you got to
achieve
that.
The Chiefs' defense is much better than you would be led to believe because of how good the offense
absolutely.
Is. Spagnuolo is doing a great job with that defense down there in Kansas City. It's a big reason why Jimmy Garoppolo struggled so much in the fourth quarter because Spagnuolo was stacking the box and giving him a bunch of exotic looks, and Jimmy didn't know what he was looking at. And that kind of rattled him a bit, and that's why he kind of collapsed in that fourth quarter. They stacked the box, so Niners were kind of forced to pass.
No, but most importantly, Spagnuolo came at Jimmy with interior pressure because we've seen Jimmy deal with edge pressure. But interior pressure,
blitzes,
he really starts to, you know, shit the bed.
I got Game Pass recently.
Jimmy's real
issue is
dealing with interior pressure. Spagnuolo exploited that.
Yeah, I got Game Pass recently, so I went back and watched some of those drives, and some of the looks they were getting was like, damn, like, what are you even looking at? Like, you have no idea what covers they're running. You have no idea who is defending who. And then they're sending, like, seven guys.
It was some genuinely really good disguised coverages.
There were plays to be made, but I can understand how Garoppolo may have been a little rattled in that fourth quarter because Spagnuolo was he called a good defense. He called a good defense in that game. He's calling a good defense now and in Kansas City. And I think they're going to do enough to – because Brady against a good, you know, rush or a good defense hasn't been that impressive to me. I don't think he was all that impressive in the Packers game. I think he had a good first half. But after that, he was not that impressive. I just that's why I have
like
the Chiefs.
Like the first half, second half splits were night and day for Brady.
Yeah,
Brady
that's why I have
the
Chiefs.
Half,
The Chiefs are the much, much, much better team. Like, no one's stopping their offense. I don't trust the Bucs to stop the Chiefs' offense, especially.
I mean, we saw this matchup before in the regular season, and we all know how that ended.
Yeah, that game was almost over at halftime for the most part. Yeah, I trust the Chiefs' defense to rattle Brady, and I mean, Brady could obviously have one of his all-time great Super Bowl performances. No, because he
and
is the GOAT. But, you know, I don't see the Bucs stopping the Chiefs' offense, but I can see the Chiefs stopping the Buccaneers' offense, and that's what it comes down to for me. So,
but again, I've been burnt a few too many times by betting against Brady, so I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, I get hold that whole angle of it. I was just thinking there for a second. I really can't remember a team as dominant as this Chiefs team, if I'm being honest.
They
I mean,
went.
like
They
last
basically
year,
went 14-1, because that last game
yeah.
doesn't really matter. So
I mean, I
they
saw
only
like
lost one game.
when they have Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback, they're like 25-1 over their last 26 games. It's something like really crazy like that, and it's just. I mean, they got a team right now where, again, I personally think Tyreek Hill is the best wide receiver in the league, just based on a pure separation standpoint. If you get separation, you win, and we obviously know you can get separation. Travis Kelce is a very good number two tight end in the league, and then they have the offensive line, they have the play calling, and like we talked about, the defense has gotten better. There's not a lot you can really do against this team. I mean, the only thing you can do, I think we had the best chance last year at probably doing that because you could rush with four, still drop everyone back and get pressure at the same time. But I just, this is probably going to be the worst Super Bowl matchup Brady has ever had. All the times in New England, I think he had a better chance than what he's got right now. Even the ones that he lost in the end, I really don't see a way that the Buccaneers win this. I just don't see it. The offense is so much better than that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. And Buccaneers defense isn't even that bad, but it's nowhere near the Chiefs defense that wise. And then again, the Chiefs, in my opinion, top 10 defense.
It
So
doesn't even.
I know the line is like -3 Kansas City. I wouldn't
It's
surprise if
gonna
they
go
win
up. But
this game
I
too.
think that's honestly a bit generous to New not New England. I'm sorry for saying New England when it comes to Brady. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Tampa Bay,
But that's
yeah.
a bit generous towards Tampa Bay.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a double-digit win by Kansas City. Double
Yeah,
digit by how?
it could get
Honestly, by the
boring.
time kickoff rolls around, I wouldn't be surprised if the line moves towards Chiefs by 7.
It should.
It could get boring. It could get boring. The only way the Bucks have a shot is if Brady can dice up that Chiefs defense, and the Bucks can get pressure and force Mahomes to get uncomfortable enough to get them some key stops here and there. But without that, I mean, it could get ugly quick if they can't keep up. Because if you like, I think there's a stat saying like in the entire Mahomes era, every team that's beaten the Chiefs has scored over 35 points. I think you have to score over 35 points
Except
to
for
beat the
one.
Chiefs, except for maybe one
Except for
team.
one. That was Indianapolis in 2019 on that Sunday night
Yeah,
game.
that game. Except for one game. So you essentially the bar is set at score more than 35 points to have a chance to beat the Chiefs. And if I don't know if the Bucks can do that, because they struggled against the Washington football team. They weren't too impressive in
Okay,
that game.
Washington has a
Washington has a great
borderline,
defense, yeah.
and the X has an excellent defense.
But
I
the
mean,
Chiefs
I.
defense is also pretty damn good. They were not that impressive in they had a good first few drives against the Packers, but overall throughout the entire game, I don't think their offense was that impressive. So yeah, I don't think their offense like it's not like their offense is humming right now. They kind of just played good enough to win both of those games. And I think the Chiefs are it doesn't even matter, bro. Like they could fall down like 14, 21 points and it's like, yeah, we'll just they'll be in the lead by the third quarter. Like it doesn't matter how many points they fall down. It's basically just like the Warriors when they had KD, Steph, Klay, and Draymond. It's like it doesn't matter how bad it gets, the Warriors can come back and win no matter, you know. Like it's just you just it's like they defy all football logic.
It's either you roll over and die at kickoff, or you're eventually put down in the third.
Like the Bills go get up 9-0 early in that game, and it's like, yeah, this is gonna be a Chiefs win. Like that's not enough. That's not enough. They scored 9 points and then scored again, at least another touchdown to the fourth, I think. So it's like,
And a lot of that has to do with the conservative play calling, which we are quickly learning does not work.
not against Kansas City. No,
Yeah.
you gotta score
And for
points.
the past 2 years, Kyle Shanahan has ranked amongst like the lowest in the league in terms of aggression on fourth downs, in terms of going for it. I think it's
I
around
think
like
there's a
he's
reason
only
for
gone for
that,
like
but
30% of the time or something like
yeah.
that.
I think
I'm
there's a
kind of on
reason for
Kobe's
that,
side.
but people don't want
Like
to
I'm
hear
pretty
it.
sure, like I'm pretty sure Jordan. Anyway, y'all should follow Jordan at splash underscore cousin on Twitter. Plus a lot of good insight about stats and data and all that. But I think it was something what I don't know, like 30% of the time both this season and last season.
I
Something like
can't
that.
confirm because I haven't seen the tweet, but I'm gonna assume
But
you're
I think
right.
it was something like that. I think it was like maybe 30%, maybe a bit lower, a bit higher, but around that range. But you got to get that number up a bit, because slowly this is turning into offensive possessions matter more than whether or not you can trust your defense.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to bump that number up with what Kyle Shanahan's working with, if I'm being honest.
This is a good chance to get into the second topic of quarterbacks. So.
Yeah, I was actually about to segue into that by talking about another reason why Kansas City and Tampa Bay are where they are right now. Elite quarterback play. Brady has had a career renaissance. 44, like 40-something touchdowns, like 44?
Yeah.
A lot of touchdowns, not a lot of picks. He's still playing good football.
Yeah.
Very good football.
And then Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes in upset. Mm-hmm. And our next topic is the 49ers quarterback carousel that is the offseason.
Yeah, no one ever talks about it, so we thought we'd do you a favor and talk about it today. So
exactly.
You know. So, I think what was it, Dan Celio? Whoever show he has at Dan Celio show on Twitter, I think he put out a list of Matt Stafford's. I guess we could start with Matt Stafford since that's the recent news of teams that he wants to go to. I think the Niners were number one, the Colts were number two. After that, I don't think it matters. I think the Jets were on there too. But I think the Colts have the best shot, and I think that's probably where he will go. He's in the AFC. Normally, teams don't trade high caliber players within division
because you don't trade starting quarterbacks within a conference.
You don't want to be killed by a quarterback you just traded to the team, because you'd be creating another contender you have to overcome. Because even if it's not this year, if it's 2 or 3 years down the road, the Lions to win a Super Bowl or get to the NFC championship game or whatever would have to probably get past the Niners, and they would have done that to themselves by trading Matthew Stafford to San Francisco. So if the Colts give them a good enough package, I don't see how they don't send him to Indianapolis. So that the Stafford thing is going to be rough.
More importantly, Indianapolis only has one quarterback under contract. He's by no means starting caliber.
Yeah, they're going to be more desperate.
The quarterback they drafted last year.
They're going to be more desperate to get a quarterback than the Niners. The Niners, as much as everyone talks about them wanting a new quarterback, and as much as we talk about all the options the Niners have, they still have a starting caliber quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo on the team who knows the system, knows the scheme and everything, and is under contract. You don't have to figure out what to do with Garoppolo. He's under contract. He's on the team. He knows the system. And you've won with him before, so you know you can win with him.
Yeah. Like, and again, Garoppolo is not a scrub. But here's the thing: can you do better? Absolutely. Can you do worse? Absolutely.
I think Stafford.
You got to keep that in mind. Like, starting quarterbacks are still rather hard to come by. Like, there's only what, maybe 10, 11 starting quarterback jobs that are still safe in the NFL right now.
I wouldn't say that many. Maybe like 8, 7 or 8, possibly. But I would love.
You still have close to over 2/3 of the league still looking for a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think
and you
Stafford
still have one under contract.
Stafford would be like, Matt Ryan 2.0 with Shanahan. I think he would be Matt Ryan 2.0. I think because he does a lot of what Matt Ryan did for Shanahan in Atlanta, plus more because if he has like top 3 arm talent. Like he does Mahomes-esque, Aaron Rodgers-esque throws that no one sees because he plays in Detroit and no one cares about what the Detroit Lions are doing. They've been a bad franchise ever since Matt Stafford has been there. He's never had a running game. He's never had a running game ranked above 17th. Now it's just 1 year. Normally they're like bottom. You're in the bottom 10 year in, year out. The defense has never really been that great. And then the coaching, the best coach they had during his tenure in Detroit was Jim Caldwell, and they ran him out of town. So that franchise is bad, dysfunctional, is not good. He's been stuck on that franchise his entire career. He's done more than enough to earn equity to be on a better team. He deserves a lot better. I think with obviously a top 3, top 2 play caller in Kyle Shanahan, maybe arguably the best, depending on what side you want to be on for that. It would elevate his game. Obviously, it's a quarterback-friendly system. It is definitely designed for veteran quarterbacks who have already been in the league. It's just kind of, you don't have to teach them anything. It's just kind of like, all right, here's the playbook. Here's what I want, here's how it's going to be. They can come in, they can run it. You don't have to teach them anything. They're ready to go. It's quarterback friendly. We saw Matt Ryan get elevated to MVP status under Shanahan. I think he can do the same thing with Stafford. It's not an argument about whether the 49ers will be better with Matt Stafford. It's about, can they get Matt Stafford? That's the question. It's the same thing with Deshaun Watson. It's not about whether the Niners be better with Deshaun Watson. It's, can they get Deshaun Watson? And Stafford's easier to get, but I think the answer is going to be end up being no to both, because it's not like it's just them looking for a quarterback. There's other teams in the league that also need a quarterback who will also be bidding on these quarterbacks, who can probably offer more because there's more cap space, more picks, better rosters.
And also more desperation, meaning they're more willing to give more assets up.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, everyone wants, you know, an upgrade, but I think it's a lot harder than it just seems to talk about it. Like, on Twitter, it's like, yeah, just trade for Stafford. No, just trade for Watson. Like, just do it. Just get him on your team. But it's not that simple. It's not like a one-man league. It's going to be about four, five, six different teams all bidding different prices. The price is going to go up. You're going to have to overpay if you want to get one of these guys, because players, it's kind of how sports works. Sometimes you have to overpay to get a player that you think can help your team, regardless of what their value actually is.
And sometimes it may bite you in the ass and make you look like an idiot.
Sometimes it's the risk you take. So, I mean, the Niners definitely should do it, but will they have enough assets to get it done and still, you know, in Shanahan and Lynch keep enough draft capital that they're comfortable with? I don't think they can. I would love to see them do it. I would love to see them, you know, break out of their philosophy they came into San Francisco with and just kind of go for it. This team is built to win now. You get a guy like Stafford, you get a guy like Watson, you're a Super Bowl title contender for at least the next two or three seasons. So they definitely should do it, but can they get it done? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, another option that a lot of people are still kind of underestimating is the draft.
Yeah.
Especially with a guy like, I mean, especially when you were looking at Kansas City, which is case in point. Kansas City traded up from number 27 to number 10 to draft Patrick Mahomes. You have Mahomes sit behind Alex Smith for a year. Learn the Kansas City playbook. Learn about like the specific nuances of an NFL offense and what Andy Reid wants. Year two, you turn him loose, he wins league MVP. Year three, he wins the Super Bowl. I mean, yes, Patrick Mahomes is an incredible talent, but at the same time, the draft can be very, very valuable. Plus, rookies are on a very, very cheap contract. Because especially if it's a first-round rookie, meaning you have 4 years of their base rookie deal as a first-round pick, you have their fifth-year option, meaning you effectively have 5 years of four, because if you're sitting a guy for a year, you effectively have four cheap, quality years. And that means you can spend more cap space around like that specific rookie. So it could be we trade up a bit higher to get a guy like Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, or we stay at number 12 and wait for a guy like Trey Lance.
The
Senior Bowl coming up, we have a lot of players whose stock is going up and down, meaning we could see a guy projected to go in the first or second slip into later rounds.
Mm-hmm. I think obviously the draft is a good option. I think a lot of people are talking about that. I think the issue with the draft is going to be is that, one, I think the 49ers are in a really good position right now. Like, the team surrounding the quarterback is definitely in Super Bowl contention, and when you start to have to re-sign guys like Trent Williams, like we do have to do this year, you see that cap space moves have to start happening. So when we re-sign a guy like Fred Warner, we're gonna have to lose a couple of guys. We already saw it happen with the Forrest Buckner. So the team right now is, I think, going to be significantly better these next 2 years than it will be 3 or 4 years. And obviously, it's still a great situation to put a rookie quarterback in. I think all of us have kind of talked about how this is the perfect situation. You got a good play caller. You got a bunch of talent around him. You got a pretty good bridge quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo that you could put a guy behind. But again, it's the same thing. You're giving up a year, basically, to either get Jimmy Garoppolo for one more year, or you're going to have a rookie play half the year. And it's obviously it's not like a rookie quarterback has no risk. We know they do. You could end up with a really complicated situation. You could end up with the situation like the Miami Dolphins have, where your starter is playing decent and you put in your rookie quarterback because he's your top. If we trade up for a guy, maybe he's your top five pick and you want to see how he is. And all of a sudden you have a Tua situation, which I think the 49ers are smarter than that, but that could obviously.
Yeah, no, Miami did that to themselves by being complete idiots. Like,
exactly.
Don't put a rookie in until he's ready. Mm-hmm. That's not that hard to do.
Yeah, and then there's always a situation that you get a guy who, I mean, he's in a good situation, but maybe off the field there's something that you don't know what happened. And we've seen a couple times the 49ers aren't the greatest judge of character, per se. We kind of saw that with the Reuben Foster situation. So there's always a chance
that
they've
gotten better since then, though. Like, other than the Reuben Foster scrub, they've been pretty clean in that regard.
Yeah, that's true, but again, it's the draft. You never know what's going to happen. But that's why I think that the draft is a good option. But like we talked about, you have other proven options that you could pick from, like a guy like Matthew Stafford. I know we just talked about how it's unlikely you get him. I think it's a little bit more likely, considering he's given a lot to Detroit. If he wants to go to a certain team, I have a feeling that Detroit would maybe give in a little bit and let him go to that team. I think the real issue with the 49ers is that, believe me, I love this team. I love this coaching staff and I love this front office. I just don't think they have the guts to do something like that. Like, the riskiest player acquisition they've made has been Dee Ford for a second round pick. And everyone was praising that trade. They knew that everyone was going to love that trade initially because you're getting a good edge rusher at the time for a second round pick. What else have they really done that's been super risky? They've traded back in the draft, what is it, two or three times now in the first round? They traded back when they had Solomon Thomas.
Exactly twice.
Twice, yeah. They traded back when they had Solomon Thomas. They traded back again to get Javon Kinlaw. And again, they've traded back up a couple times. But
to get Reuben Foster and Brandon Ayuk.
They aren't giving up a lot of move. They haven't given up a lot of draft capital to get a player or something. They've acquired Dee Ford. They've acquired Emmanuel Sanders for a third round pick. The biggest move, the absolute biggest move they made was trading DeForest Buckner. And in hindsight, that was a pretty safe move because they knew they weren't going to be able to keep him. And I think they had a feeling Javon Kinlaw was going to be there anyways. So I just don't think they have the guts in them to make a big time risky trade, which is why I think that we're going to end up with a guy like Mac Jones or Kyle Trask, or we're just going to have another year of Jimmy Garoppolo as the future starter. Like, I hope I'm proven wrong, but again,
and it's kind of hilarious that what we see as risk-free is in its own way inherently a double-edged sword.
Exactly. But I agree with what you said, but in the NFL, there's obviously riskier stuff than otherwise. The trades the 49ers have made obviously have risk, but nowhere near as much risk as trading your two first-round picks to move up for a Patrick Mahomes or move up for your star quarterback in the draft, or to trade a bunch of picks for a Jamal Adams. Like, they don't make these kind of moves that we've seen teams be making lately. And sometimes they work out with Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes they kind of work out with Jamal Adams. And sometimes they don't really work out. Like, I'd bring up the OBJ trade. The Giants have turned those picks and turned those assets into some pretty good stuff. So sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes it does. I don't think the 49ers have the guts in them to do it. I haven't seen it yet over these past couple of years. They don't seem aggressive enough. And it kind of sucks. They're good at drafting. They're good at coaching. I just don't think they're aggressive enough to make a trade. For definitely a guy like Watson, I don't think they're aggressive enough for Stafford. And I think Trey Lance is going to go before Carolina or at Carolina. I don't think they're going to get any of the four top quarterbacks. So sorry to be pessimistic about it, but I just don't think they're capable of doing it. I can't get excited about any of these guys.
I mean, it's a valid criticism. It's a genuinely valid criticism because we've seen this time and time again. San Francisco is not willing to necessarily make massive aggressive moves that, you know, that make headlines. Mm-hmm. They're much more about, you know, silently moving around, making safer moves here and there that can eventually turn into something big.
Yeah, Andrew,
they're trying to play the long game, but eventually you have to abandon the long game and try to put your chips in right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah, and I think if the 49ers do win a quarterback for the future or, like, for a few years that can put them in contention, I think this year in free agency is the best chance they can do it. And like Andrew was saying, it's kind of hard to see if the front office will do that because I think the biggest trades that John Lynch has done is the DeForest Buckner trade. Mm-hmm. And
Buckner,
maybe Dee Ford.
Ford
Emmanuel
and
Sanders
Garoppolo.
Was as well because we only kept them for like half a fucking season.
The Niners so, don't trade first round picks. They trade for first round picks. They don't ever trade them away. So there's no proof that they will make that kind of move. Andrew, you said everything I was basically going to say if I went. I can definitely see them getting cold feet and not pulling the trigger on a big move to get Stafford or Watson. I think Watson's a lot harder and a lot more unrealistic. Stafford is realistic, but will they be willing to give up what they have to? Because they'll have to bid more than the Colts, regardless, to get to get Stafford. They have to give. They have to give the Lions
a deal. They're going to be a lot more desperate than we are.
They'll have to give the Lions a deal they can't say no to, if they want Stafford.
No, but here's the thing: if a team is that desperate, they're going to inherently overpay. Meaning, why overpay to get somebody that another team's already overpaying for?
Yes, I'm saying.
That's just going to screw you over.
Yes, I'm saying the Niners already have a starting quarterback, so they don't need to overpay for a, and they're not going to. I don't think John Winston, Kyle Shanahan will, and that's why I believe that there's a good chance that in all four quarterbacks, the top four, you know, Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, and Lance, they'll be gone by pick 12. They'll all be gone. I think there's too many teams that need quarterbacks right now. Jacksonville needs a quarterback. I know what Saleh said, you know, when he first got hired, when him and his GM said about Darnold, but I think they could still take a quarterback at number two, because normally new coach means new quarterback. They want to get their own guy.
Or New York could trade out, meaning someone trades up to number two to get a quarterback.
Also possible. And to trade up, Niners have to get into two or three to get Wilson or to get Fields. They have to get into the top four. Miami probably won't go quarterback, but Atlanta has a chance that they could.
Cincinnati won't go quarterback either.
Atlanta could definitely go quarterback. Detroit at seven. Could definitely go. If they're trading Stafford, they will go quarterback. They will go quarterback at seven. So all four quarterbacks can go in the first seven picks. So the Niners will have to get aggressive to get into the top seven range. And
actually,
the
price right now. What if? Let's say Stafford goes to Indianapolis, meaning we know that Detroit's going to try and go after a quarterback. What if we trade up to number seven with Detroit to leapfrog them for a guy like Zach Wilson or Troy Lance if they do fall?
I don't think Detroit would accept that trade. And they could package the deal. They could package the first-rounder they get from Indianapolis with their first-rounder to move up even higher if they want to. So the Detroit is definitely in the quarterback market this offseason. They're going to draft a quarterback in the draft because they're going to have to. They don't have anyone on the roster to replace Stafford. They got to get one. So the four quarterbacks are going to be gone by pick 12. So then it leaves you with Kyle Trask and Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones, as much as we, you know, and today in the Senior Bowl, he didn't perform all that well. But from the games we saw, he has some traits that Shanahan will like. If Shanahan can get him in the second round, I think he will, and have him behind Garoppolo or Kyle Trask not playing in the Senior Bowl. There's no news on a combine. There may not be a combine this year. There may not be a pro day this year. So the last chance you get to see these players before it's draft time is the Senior Bowl. And Kyle Trask not playing could push him down the board. So there's a chance that he could be available in the second round or maybe even the third round. So those two will be available later in the draft. So the Niners could go in a different position. They could take offensive linemen. They can take defensive linemen. They can take cornerback. At pick 12, they can trade down and acquire more picks if they want to. They have a lot of things they can do. And we know this team likes to value their future as they're trying to, improve in the present. So they're not going to send away a bunch of picks. They like to acquire more picks so they have more flexibility going down the road. It just doesn't seem like a 49ers move for him to trade up in the draft to get a quarterback.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like something they'll do. And I know no one wants to hear that. And we argue about quarterbacks every day on the timeline on Twitter. And everyone is on the screw Jimmy Garoppolo bandwagon right now. And I know, even though I haven't said too many nice things about him recently, he is still a starting quarterback. He did go 13-3 last season. Not all because of him, but he was a starting quarterback. And we did go to the Super Bowl with him starting. So, you can't take that away from him. So, you can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. Will they be as good as they will be if they get Watson or Stafford or get one of the top four quarterbacks in this draft? No, but you can still win. This team is still good. So it's not as simple as everyone's making it sound. I think it's a lot more complicated. I think there's a lot more you have to factor in when it comes to the quarterback position. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Stafford will be traded within the next 2 weeks, I think. I think for the next 2 weeks, we'll know what team he's on. So it'll be interesting to see
how that
shakes out. Yeah,
there's probably going to be a trade that's going to be agreed to, but nothing is going to be announced or finalized until what? like March 16th?
Yeah,
I think that when the the Alex Smith trade got announced in February at some time, so they can do a trade now. It's just that, you know, it wouldn't be official.
Oh, no. I'm saying they can do a trade. I'm not saying we don't know when it's gonna be announced.
Yeah, they just can't talk to Stafford directly, but they can do the trade. So
I think the one thing that not a lot of people are talking about, and I kind of was enforcing before my Twitter account, you know, went away for a little bit, was the chance that they buy low on Sam Darnold. Like, he was a top three pick, and he's been surrounded by a lot of bad talent. That's a move I think they can make. If they can trade a day two pick, I don't think he'll go for a day three pick, maybe like a day two pick for a guy like Sam Darnold at that point, where you could either have him sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo if he needs to learn, or maybe if he comes into camp and he's performing better than Jimmy. I don't think so, because he needs to learn the system. But that's the kind of move I could see them making. That's probably the most aggressive move for them that I can see this front office making, where they just give up a day two pick, where it's not a lot of risk. It's not like they're going to face a ton of backlash for giving up a third round pick for Sam Darnold. So that's a move I could see them making. But that's about it at this point.
The 49ers had interest in Sam Darnold going into the 2018 draft before they obviously acquired Garoppolo in 2017. So, you know, that could be something they do. And obviously their good buddy Salah down there in New York could be willing, you know, to give him a deal. And it's interconference, so it wouldn't be trading him to the NFC. I mean, within the AFC, they'd be down to trade him to the NFC. So if the Jets take quarterback at, you know, number two, I could definitely see Darnold getting traded, and San Francisco could be one of those teams that acquires him. So, yeah, that's something to keep an eye out for. But bottom line, I don't think the 49ers 2021 quarterback will be who everyone wants it to be. Because, you know, when do 49er fans ever get what they want? So.
True.
Maybe Nick Bosa. We wanted a first-round wide receiver last year. We did get one, but it wasn't the one that everybody wanted. So we do get what we want sometimes, but it's just not exactly who we want.
Not when it comes to quarterback, I don't think. We don't normally get what we want at quarterback. So that's why we haven't had, you know, a Pro Bowl quarterback since Jeff Garcia. It's been rough.
Well, I mean, I'm going to adapt a page from your Dating Trees book here, and as much as the grass is green, as much as life goes on, and as much as the offseason is going on, so do the days of our Niners.
Yeah. I hope it gets better. I really hope it gets better for all of us. I know we got so many great people on 49ers Twitter that I see every day go on here and just pour their hearts out about either how much they hate Jimmy Garoppolo, how much they love him and would rather lose a Super Bowl with him than win one. Holy cow. I need us to be good for all these guys.
Not only win with him, lose a Super Bowl.
Lose with him. Okay, let's. I think this is probably a good time to go over the best stuff. I mean, we had that. You guys already know. Like,
half of y'all already saw that shit.
I hope 49ers Twitter can get a quarterback just for our hearts. We need one.
I hope we can start winning so we can stop arguing on Twitter every
single
day. Oh,
no, we are getting a quarterback. His name is Jamie Newman, and we're getting him in the fifth round.
I heard he looked good today, so.
Oh, yeah, no, he was pretty good. Oh, well, that's kind of all we've got for today.
You sure? That was it?
Again, subscribe to the socials.
You had one more topic, earlier.
I mean, no. I feel like these two topics have run a bit long. I kind of don't want to
We're at 43.
Extend the episode a bit.
It's not too bad. We're at 43 minutes. It's not too bad. We can go another 17.
Oh, wait, we actually have time?
We haven't got an hour yet.
That is genuinely shocking. Never mind. Put a moratorium on the ending because apparently we have time.
Bonus content.
You said other positions of need.
Bonus content.
Yeah.
We got bonus content. Well, if there's one thing we learned today, I have worse clock management than Anthony Lynn, who is the new Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Adam Gase.
You're so rude. Next.
Okay, but like, so the final topic for today is like just other positions of need for the Niners. I think the biggest ones that will kind of just jump back to us are interior offensive line, secondary, maybe a third linebacker, and then quite possibly edge rusher.
If the 49ers don't take a quarterback in the draft, I'd be fine. I think I'd be happy with Patrick Surtain.
Surtain. Yeah, I don't know how to say his last
name. Surtain, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I don't think he falls to our pick, but if he did...
Sam hates him. Sam does not want
him. Yo, yeah, Sam hates him. He doesn't fit our system. I'm like,
Sam, listen,
learn.
He can play zone coverage.
I mean, for all we know, D'Amico Ryan's could bring in a lot more man coverage.
Yeah.
And it's not like Surtain can't play zone coverage. He can. He's better at man coverage. He doesn't mean he can't play zone coverage. I think he'd be okay in
zone. If anything, teaching a man-to-man corner how to play zone is a lot easier than teaching a zone corner how to play man-to-man.
It's pretty obvious that Sherman is gone, so I think with Jason Verrett now being our number one corner, I can see us playing
if
more
they
man-to-man.
Resign him. They got to get that deal done.
Yeah,
that's true. But this year we played a lot more man coverage and a lot more cover two variations.
Yeah, because
Gets
wasn't out
yeah,
there.
But that was a lot of solid adjusting to the fact that we didn't have a monster defense line. Yeah,
I think that was more to do with Sherman not being out there, because Sherman is kind of a liability in man coverage now. Yeah. He can't hang with receivers that much anymore.
Exactly. I could easily see Ryan's shifting to a lot more man coverage if they get a guy like Surtain. I would be ecstatic if you can re-sign a guy like Jason Verrett and then draft Surtain in the draft. You can do whatever you want with coverages. I think those are two future Pro Bowl corners right there. I would change the whole defensive scheme in the defense. You can't, and the big part about this, you definitely can. The only guy in our secondary that's guaranteed to be back next year is Jimmy Ward. And he can play man coverage if you really need him to in the slot. So you can have your defensive backfield scheme be whatever you want. So if you can get a guy like Surtain, by all means, do that.
Yeah, I think Akello Witherspoon has also been better in man. We saw Jason Verrett's very good in man. So I think this team is almost kind of built for man covers going forward. I think Mosey was a better zone corner. We saw him get toasted in man covers this year when he played. So, yeah, I think this team, if they keep Akello or if they draft Surtain and keep Verrett, I think they'll be in position to play more man coverage. So Sam and his hatred for Patrick Surtain because he doesn't like his zone ability. It's funny to me because I think he'll be fine in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I just find it funny where it's like, no, these guys know what they're talking about. Surtain would be a
terrible
fit for the
49ers. Yeah, he's like, they should be fired. I'm like, bro, if he falls to us, you know how huge that would be.
It's like the number one or number two overall quarterback prospect in the entire draft. I'm sure he can learn.
What about
J.C.
Horn?
He'd be good too. Jason Horn would be good too. Caleb Farley as well.
I'd be fine with either three.
If Sam wants his own corner, Eric Stokes would be his guy.
Yeah.
From Georgia.
I mean, if we're looking at an interior offensive line, if you guys are looking at the Senior Bowl, a guy who really stood out today was Drake Jackson out of Kentucky.
Yeah, I saw him too. He fits the size profile for a Kyle Shanahan offensive lineman. He's got that kind of more mobile build. He's not a big...
That's my thing about offensive linemen. People talk about the Niners need to get people who are better in pass protection. The Niners, that's not the way they do offensive linemen. They do athletic run blockers. So they could run play because normally they go run game play action. So they don't really need people to be drop back pass blockers. They just need people who can get out, who can run style on the sideline.
Yeah, but at the same time, we need at least average pass blocking. We haven't had good pass blocking since 2013.
Yeah, but the Niners
our run blocking has always been solid and at worst average. However, we haven't had average, let alone good pass blocking since 2013. I mean, if we at least get to average pass blocking, that's going to be a massive improvement to how this offense plays overall.
I agree. But I just don't see – because that's a philosophical change that I don't think Shanahan will want to make. Since he's been here in the four seasons, he's gotten Lakin Tomlinson, Weston Richburg. He drafted Mike McGlinchey. He's getting guys who are athletic, can get out and move, and can run block very well. I don't see that changing year five, especially when the line is already built – for running the football well. I just don't see it changing. So even if they do draft an offensive lineman, it'll be another guy who is like the guys you already have. It's not going to be a guy who is stellar in pass protection. It's going to be a guy who can run block. So that's why O-line, interior O-line, it may be a need, but I don't think it's going to fit with the guy people want. It won't be a pass blocker. It'll be another athletic run blocker. And they won't spend a high pick on that, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line depth is kind of weird. They're There's a lot of names, but in terms of talent and ability, it's a lot top heavy. So if we have to, if we're gonna make an offensive line investment, it's got to be within the first two rounds.
Which is, I don't think they will. I think they'll run it back with the guys they have. Hopefully, they can. And they, what they need to do is get. I think Alex Mack's gonna be a free agent. They should go sign Alex Mack for center, and move Brunskill back to right guard. And I think that'll be the O line. It'll be Williams, which they need to get that done. Like, they need to get Williams. That contract needs to get done.
100%. Yeah,
Williams, Tomlinson, Alex Mack, Brunskill, and then McGlinchey would be the offensive line. That I think that's the line they might go for 2021, but we'll see.
I mean, again, a lot of moving pieces. A lot of questions.
I think it's
going to be interesting.
This team doesn't have too many needs. I guess another one would be edge rusher, which they could definitely draft Quiddy Pay or Gregory Rosu with pick 12 if they're there. I could definitely see them go in line again in the draft, and everyone will hate it, but it could definitely happen. I don't think it's going to be as much as we talk about it. I don't think quarterback's going to get addressed until like late first round, early second round. Well, they got like Mac Jones or Kyle Trask. I don't think it'll be Stafford. I don't think it'll be Watson. I think they'll get outbidded in those situations. Garoppolo will be here for another year, as they've kind of already been saying, because they kind of – that's why I think they say they expect him to be here, because they're not sure what opportunities they'll have to upgrade. And if they even if they can, the – you know, they're not the only team bidding. You know, it's not – they can't just, you know, Madden veto trades, just trade away – two picks and one player that's not that great in your team for a star quarterback. You can't just do that, you know? You have to give up quite a bit of capital to acquire a player of that caliber. So, might be outside of their price range. I think it could be a Garoppolo and a rookie from a day two pick, and then no draft like Gregory Rosu or somebody with a 12th pick, or maybe a little corner. I don't know. It depends on what they do with Ferret and Witherspoon. Mosley will be back, I think, for sure. And also, there's guys that we don't know how they feel about who's on the roster. A guy like Tim Harris, you know, he hasn't played yet, but we don't know how they feel about him. Do they feel he could, you know, play outside corner for them? I don't know. You know, guys they've been developing on the roster the last few years, could one of those guys end up playing outside corner and they just kind of leave it alone? Do they trust the progression of their players already on the team? I mean, it's kind of out there on the limb. I don't know how they feel about that, but it's a possibility. So we kind of saw them already do that before, when we were saying, hey, you need to get a corner. And they never do. They stick with the guys on the roster. And we saw Mosley come in and play well, a guy who'd been on the roster for 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, that's also a possibility too. So if they draft, I feel like D-line is coming again. In all honesty, I feel like D-line is coming again.
It makes sense.
You're going to lose Ford. You're getting Bosa back. You drafted Kinlaw in Armstead. You love having... And then when you have, you know, D'Amico Ryan, a brand new defensive coordinator, he's not going to have the experience and the know-it-all to run, you know, to be as creative and adjust as well as Sala did his last year in San Francisco, because he didn't have the experience. So they give him, you know, a stellar defensive line and say, hey, just rush four and just call like cover two, cover three, cover four, and just let that defensive line eat. That could be the kind of defense they go with to ensure that Ryan doesn't have to do too much with that defense, and they can still be good. So, if they pick D-line again, I would not be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised either. But yeah, I think that pissed a lot of people off. But
oh yeah, it will. It will be quite really a night when that happens.
I would really be fine with DB. I'd really be fine with that. I don't care if people say, we need a quarterback. I'm like, no, it is good that you're taking a young talent at DB. That is good. That is, it's not a must, but, you know, it's a really good, that's a really good pick. Especially if Surtain or Horn. Ooh, this is a good pick.
At this point, all we can say is just trust in the organization. That's all we can really say.
Yeah.
They've done a good job so far. That's all we can genuinely
say is just trust the organization.
This is the same organization.
You don't have to trust the players, but at the same time, it's like you have to trust the organization.
Yeah.
They made it to a Super Bowl. I I trust him. If you can make a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll trust the rest of your personnel decisions.
Yeah.
I think we all, like, I think the in the grand scheme of things, we all have things that we'd like them to see, but they are all professionals at this. So, of course, they've made mistakes, but I have a feeling they'll make the right decision. It's going to be conservative. It's going to be a safe play, but they'll make a decent decision.
Although, you know, when Garoppolo is here next year, it's not going to be fun for me on Twitter because people are going to be coming at my head, bro.
Yep.
I still remember that tweet you made and you were talking about it, how you were like, this is the stats I expect from Jimmy Garoppolo this year.
Yeah, like that tweet's
good. Okay, what do we do if Jimmy comes back? Do not do that again. Do not do that again.
So when the Super Bowl comes around, people are going to come back at me like, hey, bro, remember this tweet? I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Tubby, I do.
I was wrong.
Tubby, listen to me, okay? In the event that Jimmy Garoppolo is on this team when week one in 2021, in the event that Jimmy Garoppolo is on this team, do not make another tweet like
that. No, I will not. I will not. As a matter of fact, I might go in reverse and say, like, yeah, Garoppolo have like negative 85 passing touchdowns, like like 2,000 interceptions, negative 25 million yards, something like that. There's something like that, just to like
reverse psychology, man.
Yeah, man. Just set the expectations really low so he can like just kill. I might do that if he's here. I'd be like, yeah, he's gonna have like two touchdown passes, 25 interceptions, works, I guess. Something like that. And they'll hate me, but they'll love me later for it.
Yep, it's
yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
I am.
It feels
done
like there's a lot of holes, but at the same time, it's not a lot. So to recap, the quarterback situation is not as much of a mess as people think.
Yeah.
Adrian, Andrew, and Kobe all think the Chiefs are winning, and I am not betting against Tom Brady. Therefore, I'm thinking the Bucks are gonna win, and we also kind of agreed that as much as we think there are a lot of holes in the roster, they're really not. Is there a few things you gotta plug in here and there?
Our offense like is still like really. I mean, we still have a really good run game. We just resigned Jeff Wilson, so we're gonna have Jarrett McKinnon's fucking God bless the fucking. Whoever answered my prayer, I love you up there.
We have a few more minutes, so let's just, like, what are your thoughts on, like, the IG live situations, like, with both Jason Verrett and McKinnon, like, Jimmy Ward's like, hey, talking about, you know, you're going to be back, like, well, they got to come correct, you know, come correct, and I'll be back, and it's like, Verrett, what does that mean?
Verrett sounds like he wants to be back. Jet, I'm glad he doesn't want to be back. I'm tired, like, every time I watch him play football, I want to rip my eyes. I'm like, what are you doing? Please get off the team.
You say rip.
I wanted to rip my eyes out every time tired legs ran out there.
He had the Jets run where he like converted like a 3rd and 32 or something.
I think
he converted a 55-yard run.
An entire season's worth of energy to make that run. Because after that, he was nowhere near the same.
That was freaking trash.
Need I bring up the week 8, 3rd and 5 Wildcat.
Okay. I've said this before. If you look back at the film of that play, like, it could have worked. Like, there was a hole there. He just didn't pick the right hole, okay? Like,
yeah.
Blame it on McKinnon.
He held to the ball too long. Like, he was indecisive with it.
Exactly. Like, Shanahan's a genius is basically what I'm trying to say because he almost made it work. Just blame it on McKinnon. I get it. But that play gets way too much unnecessary hate, and it's something random that I dislike. So, that play would have worked.
Yeah, I didn't think it was it was kind of like, wait, what are we doing? Because we've never seen him run Wildcat before here in San Francisco. That was like the first time I think he ever ran Wildcat. So it's like this.
I remember seeing Wildcat
different.
In the Saints game last year where they had Richie James line up as a QB.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, we did have that one play. Okay, so that's the second time they ran Wildcat here in San Francisco.
Yep,
hasn't worked either time. I don't think Shanahan's a Wildcat wizard, but.
Wait,
maybe.
Did Debo do it when he took off when he was supposed to throw it? I think to Jimmy.
I think they tossed it back. It was like a. It was a toss pick.
Never mind. Yeah.
It was like the Emmanuel Sanders play to Raheem Mostert in New Orleans last year.
That play was fucking lit. I remember that play. I'm like, oh shit. But yeah. Like, if we get a quarterback, man, just imagine like Brandon Ayuk with. Like Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson, just
keep imagining. Man. I don't think it's gonna happen. Keep imagining.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, unless John Lynch is saying, "Yep, let's do it." But other than that, yeah, I don't.
Unfortunately, reality cannot be whatever we want.
Can you imagine our roster if 49ers Twitter determined who was on the roster? Like it was based like popularity vote. My God, this roster.
So we would have a roster of.
We have no picks and all
Matthew
stars.
Stafford. Our entire like team would be a 53 man roster of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd still have Emmanuel Sanders on this team as well.
Obviously.
We'd have Jamal Adams. We'd have Jalen Ramsey. We'd have Odell Beckham. All these guys that every time they come available, Niners need to trade everything for him. Go get Ramsey. Go get Adams. Go get Beckham. It's like, guys.
I post some photoshops and all that just to get a rise out of people, but I think it's going to happen. Fuck no. I think the most realistic one is Matthew Stafford for us, but Deshaun Watson, man. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 25, young, and he's been in the MVP conversation a few times as well.
Yeah. All I'm saying is
that just doesn't happen, three bro.
Deshaun like, Watson to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan is Deshaun Watson's going to win
it's called
MVP.
Houston being an absolute idiotic organization.
Yeah.
How does that never happens? Like that just never happens. Like you never had a quarterback that good, that young, that you know,
that angry at an organization.
Like how bad of an organization do you have to be?
I think it probably started
to lose your franchise quarterback at that age.
I mean, here's the thing: Houston is still the only team without a head coach this year.
Yeah.
Yo, and they were interviewing Josh McCown, the quarterback for head coach. Like,
oh, just hire Eric Bieniemy, man. That's all they gotta do is hire Eric Bieniemy.
But even so, like. The reports
however,
are, like,
that would require Houston to do something smart.
Yeah.
Which we have clearly seen that they are absolutely incapable of doing.
Like, they had to go interview
was the
Josh
Texans,
McCown, bro. And it's bad over there. It's bad.
Doug, I'm just saying if I was the Texans and I had fucking Deshaun Watson and then I see in Kansas City, I'm like, oh shit, there's Eric Bieniemy. He's screaming right to the fucking Houston GM, hire me, hire me. Like he's doing the fucking I don't know. He's just trying to make everyone notice. He's like those guys with the signs, like outside the stores, are just doing the signs and shit, all that flipping. That's him right now. And Houston's like, what? They're like us. They just drive by it. That's what they're doing right now.
It's like DBZ a bridge with like future Trunks and be like, notice me.
Yeah.
And then we have Vegeta, aka Houston, in the background. No.
Thank God we're not Houston. Thank God we're not Houston fans, because that's pain.
That's
tough for Houston sports, man. They lost James Harden, and they're going to lose Deshaun Watson.
And the whole Astros thing.
Yeah, and
the whole
that's self-explanatory.
Houston sports is not looking up right now.
Yeah.
Houston sports is down bad.
Yeah, they are down horrendous. You're going to lose two superstars. In a span of how many months? Like three.
Like
man. Honestly, I think Deshaun Watson, I think when he really started getting pissed is when... Okay, I think he was pissed when the whole D-Hop thing happened, but I think what really broke the line is that they're not getting on the phone with Eric Bieniemy.
No. What really set him off was the whole general manager hiring.
Yeah, that
because
was, that
he had zero input.
But I think what really set him over the edge was the Eric Bieniemy thing. To like, listen to your franchise guys. He wanted Robert Saleh or Eric Bieniemy. Just do it, man.
Like, it's just like they told him, yeah, you know, give us some guys you'd like to have here, and then they interviewed none of them. It's like. How do you ask him for his opinion
Chiefs,
and then don't
example,
take his opinion? Like, what?
The Chiefs literally took Clyde Edwards-Helaire because Patrick Mahomes said, yeah, take him. And the Chiefs were like, okay.
Just listen to your guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes
just,
they know what they're doing.
Oh, he's the only reason why your team's irrelevant. Listen to the man. Oh, no, what's so hard about Houston?
Idiotic franchises will do things that will have them remain as idiotic franchises and bad franchises.
I just can't wait till Seattle hires Adam Gase. It's going to be awesome.
I need this. I need that.
I don't think that's happening. I think I'm pretty sure they finalized terms with Anthony Lynn to become their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Have they?
Did you guys see what DK Metcalf said today?
No.
He said that their offense was too predictable. And it was true. He was like, run the ball, and then a deep pass. I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's a Sean Heimer offense right there.
Yeah. That or wide receiver screens.
They just make Russell do everything. Like, hey, Russell, just be a magician.
Magic happen every play. But
and you're worried about
even Scott then he's starting to regress a bit.
But yeah, well,
whose fault can that really be? That could be Shotty's fault, probably. But
all right, this has been a Faithful Four Extra. If you're still listening, we need to wrap up before we end up getting into something we don't need to talk about.
But yeah, to summarize, a lot of movement in the NFL, a lot of hilarious stuff, a lot of stupid stuff. The quarterback situation is not as messy as you think, and it's not as clean as you also think. And for as much of needs we do have, we also don't have many needs. Well, I think that's it. And from all of us, this has been the Faithful Four Podcast. Peace.
Peace.
Go Niners.
Go Niners.
Yep.